You're listening to Wheelationships.
You know, it is good that you're here because, you know, we've been through a lot of stuff that, you know, when we talk about social styles, we talk about personalities and how we're made up. That's attractive because, you know, we like to know about ourselves for some reason. We like to talk about ourselves. And so when we talk about what social styles we are, it's you know, well, that's fun. But then when we talk about what to do with that, well, that's a different thing altogether because then, yeah, that's hard and that's work. And today we're going to talk about conflicted in communicating. We've been talking about social styles a long time, haven't we? A long time. In fact, I don't even remember how long. It's been a long time. There's a reason that we've talked about social styles for so long. It's because there's a lot to say. And I just remind you that the basis for this very long segment on annoying people is that there are...
It's annoying.
Yeah, there are annoying people that annoy us. And many times we don't know why. If you don't stop and think about this issue of social styles and how we're constructed, then you may just make up your own reasons or you don't know why and you just move on. They just annoy me and I don't care why. They just annoy me. But we've taken this long so that you understand why. You understand some of the why of why people annoy you. But we have these different social styles and the blend of different social styles. And we don't think and react like each other. So this is natural annoyance. And so we spent the very long time talking about this and what this looks like in different situations and how these social styles mix and how they don't mix. And when people annoy us, you know, it happens because we're fast and they're slow, or they're talkative and we want quiet, or they're silly and we want to be serious. And so that's when that annoyance happens, that is conflict. So that's why we've been talking about conflict for a few weeks here, because when that conflict happens, we have to do something with it. For the last few weeks, we've taken this a step further and we've asked this question. What do we do about it? Now that we know that we annoy each other and why we annoy each other, what can we do about it? What should we do about it? When there is conflict between us, how do we handle it? Now, again, this is all right here. This is just review. But I'll remind you of what Trudy said 2 weeks ago. But she said this, but I'm going to word it a little differently because I'm different than her. No. Doesn't. I'm different, and that's what different people do, is they say things differently. So I'm going to say this differently. And she asked this question, how do I deal with conflict? And she gave you this, and I'm going to say it this way. How do you deal with conflict? Where, well, basically, there's five ways. She gave you four. I'm going to say there's five. And it's this. Either, one, we play like it doesn't exist. That's what she said, and, you know, we live in denial. We pretend. This conflict isn't happening, you know. No, that doesn't really annoy me. Are you annoyed? No, I'm not annoyed. Ha. Or we play for the win. That is, we attack. We power up. We compete. We try to change it so it's my way. We play hide. Not hide and seek, just hide. We don't want to be sought. We want to escape. We want to flee is the common word. We want to get away from it all. We want to avoid the conflict. So we play like it doesn't exist. We play for the win. We play hide. We play dead. We just curl up into a ball and hope it goes away. We roll over. What Teresa says, we compromise. And without getting to the real issue, We just kind of give in. We play dead. We go, oh, okay, well, yeah, sure, whatever. And we haven't really dealt with the conflict in the first place. We haven't really dealt with those things that are annoying us. We just kind of give in and say, okay, whatever, I'll just get over it, I guess. I don't know. Or the fifth way is we play fair. When we play fair, that means we're actively and maturely seeking the best solution for everybody involved. We are addressing the problem without attacking, without pretending. And this is what we've called and what you know as confronting. That's such a harsh word. That's why playing fair sometimes. I like playing fair. Again, this is just review, but look at those five things. And what we're going to talk about today is very common. You probably heard a lot of this before in other situations. But because we've gone through all this social style stuff, I want you to think of this in the context of social style. Look at those five things and think about this a minute. Which one of those is a driver most likely to do? Play for the win. Absolutely. Play for the win. Attack. What about an expressive?
Everything's good.
What's that?
Everything's good.
Everything's good. Doesn't exist. What annoyance. I'm not annoyed. What are you talking about? How about an amiable? They may play dead. They may play hide. They may play like it doesn't exist. Yeah, yeah. Analytical?
No.
No, and analytical's not first response is not to play fair. No. No, no. In none of these, in no social style is playing fair the first response or the one that will be up front. Unless, and this is the point, unless you have matured and you have allowed God to change you and who you are and you have come to that point, you've learned how God wants us to respond, that is not going to be your natural first response. Okay. Naturally speaking, we are all sinners, and we all are broken. And naturally speaking, the natural response, the thing that we most naturally want to do is probably one of those other four. We want to attack, we want to get it done our way, or we want to run away from it, or we want to pretend like it doesn't exist, or we just want to give in and have it all smoothed over and have peace. That's the natural thing to do. And that's why when we come to this thing of dealing with conflict in a mature way, where we play fair and we go through these things that we're going to talk about on how we address conflict, you're going to go, well, that just sounds hard and it sounds like work and it, you know, that's not my natural response. Well, no, it's not. How's that working for you? It's not our natural response, but as we grow, as we mature and we allow God to change us, it becomes our natural response as we practice this more and more. If we're mature, we have allowed God to shape us and mold us, and we will play fair. So that's what we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks, how to play fair and confront in a healthy and constructive way. Yes. I would say that you're playing for the win in that case. No.
I'm still trying to analyze it.
No, because for the analytical, you would like it to all be right and correct, but it serves selfish purposes most. Unless you've turned your natural selfish desires, that's what our natural desires are. They're naturally selfish. Unless you've turned those over and had those worked on by the Holy Spirit, then you're going to play for the win. Now, you have that. You may have that amiable in you that wants everybody to be happy about it, or the expressive in you that wants everybody to be happy about it. And so that may lean you towards making it fair so somebody doesn't get upset with you. But it's not the same thing at all.
Don't you think, though, playing fair is sometimes how you solve the problem? I mean, on a driver's standpoint, if playing fair is confronting the situation, sometimes you will confront it to solve it. Not so much.
Yeah.
I'm
just gonna act like it doesn't exist.
I'm sorry if you're sitting back there and you can't hear this. It's. Yes, ma'am. Could be, yeah. Sounds like something I may say here in a little bit. Yeah, that can happen. That can happen when you try to stuff it down. See, a lot of times, I don't know if I get into this later, but a lot of times, you know, if you're an amiable, you may want to pretend like it doesn't exist, or you may want to play hide until it keeps coming back, and it keeps coming back, and it keeps coming back, and you want peace so much that, yeah, boom. Boom goes the dynamite. And, you know, instead of maturely and in a healthy manner addressing it and seeking this playing fair thing. Yeah. 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 I think it is. She said, is it ever going to happen? Yeah, I think it is. For students, most of the time that's the case. You know, they just want to be in class, and the teachers, they're annoying me because they keep telling me I have to work, and what is that about? I don't get it. Well, let's look at the actual communication we use in conflict. And first, we're going to look at the words we say. The words we say. Proverbs 16:8 says, a fool's lips bring him strife, and his mouth invites a beating. And there are drivers in the room that said, yes, amen. Actually, instead of dealing with specific words that we say, I want us to think about this a little differently. What we really want is to develop a message. When you're addressing conflict, you're trying to establish, not just trying to pick the right words, you're trying to establish a message. And at the heart of the message, I think the heart of the message when we're addressing conflict is, I want this to change. This is annoying me. I want this to change. That's really the bottom line of the message. If we didn't want it to change, there would be no conflict, right? If everything was good, then there would be no conflict. But now you have this conflict, and at the heart of it, we want it to change. Before we say anything and enter into the conversation, though, I think it's wise to ask these two questions. Two questions. First of all, is it my place to ask for change? And many times in the case of those students, no, it's not. It's not your place. Okay, here's an example. You're walking down the street, you pass a stranger. I think this happened to me the other day in Walmart. I was going through Walmart, passing a stranger, terrible body odor. I mean, like, make your eyes water, body odor. Now, is it my place to go and talk with this person about their hygiene? No, I have no relationship with them. In no manner is it my place to talk with them. Okay, what if it's one of my kids? Yes, very much my place. Okay, go take a shower, please. All right. So it's different. Is it my place? That's the first question. Second question. This is a little harder, a little trickier. Is it worth it? Now, when you ask that question, make sure you understand your social style. If you are an amiable, you are going to be tempted every time to say, no, it's not worth it at all. No, because it might cause more conflict and it might destroy our relationship and it might be awkward and I just would rather just not. And if you, on the other hand, if you have no amiable in you, then you may be tempted every time to say, absolutely. Okay. Is it worth it? You bet it is. Because as a driver or an expressive, you tend to be an extrovert anyway. And so that aggressive nature is going to tempt you to say, absolutely, it's worth it. Okay. I don't care if they are a stranger. I got to tell them they're stinking up the joint and I'm going to go talk to them. My goodness. What are they doing parking like that? Lady, what's good? You know, and so is it worth it? Yeah, absolutely.
Who parked that way?
What social style are we dealing with here? And as analytical, you want it right. So, yeah, absolutely. Got to make it right. So, you know. So there may be that tendency. Proverbs 19 says, a man's wisdom gives him patience. It is his glory to overlook an offense. So if you have no amiable in you, you may want to just pay attention. So look at both of those questions. In both of those questions, and when you craft your message for the confrontation, it's important to remember these words of Paul. It was already kind of referenced. It's true that moral guidance and counsel need to be given, but the way you say it and to whom you say it are as important as what you say. Hey, that's scripture in the message. So, I want to look at this message, and we're going to make it a three-part message. All right, there's three parts to this. Remember, the heart of the message is, I want this to change. If you're a driver, your tendency is to say exactly that and nothing else. I want this to change. And you may add the word now. I want this to change now. And that would be your message. That's not usually an effective, well-crafted message, okay? Expressives and analyticals, you're going to tend to make this a 6 or a 19-part answer. Part missing, you know. Do you understand why I say that? Right? You understand that? Okay. We would do well to heed this proverb. When words are many, sin is not absent. He who holds his tongue is wise. And sometimes that means you hold your tongue until you have the message fully formed. And then you let it go just a little bit and take it back again. So, first part of the message. When you, this part of the message is brief and it's an accurate description of the behavior that annoys you. What is the conflict about? What is it that is annoying? When you grit your teeth, when you leave the toothpaste cap off, when you lift the toilet seat up, when you ignore me, when you keep talking and don't give me a chance to give my response. Okay. What is it? And here's some helpful hints with this. Be specific and concrete, to the point. You cannot emphasize this enough. Be specific. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later. And avoid time bombs. Always, every, never, any. Okay, don't exaggerate. Because, well, just don't. All right, avoid those time bombs. Be specific. So when you. Second part of this is I feel. I feel. Now, this is where you disclose your feelings. Now, can you see where different social styles begin to have a problem with this kind of proper confrontation? Yeah, how so? Hmm? I want to talk about feelings. Yeah. Who's that really? You can see how the different, just think about those different social styles. All right. Yeah. Drivers want to detach from feelings. Feelings aren't productive and they're not important and we're going to go on. So I don't want to deal with feelings. All right. So here are some pointers for this. You want to disclose here when you do this, I feel. Yeah. Well, first of all, be accurate. The description of your feeling should be accurate and truthful. If you are angry, own it. I am angry. Don't obfuscate your real meaning with convoluted vocabulary. Yeah, that's a joke. Don't say I'm annoyed when you're really angry. Well, I'm just annoyed. And you meant angry. Say, I'm angry. Don't play it down if it's a little bit bigger. And don't make it bigger if it's a little bit less. Don't say, I'm furious when you're really only a little irritated. And again, think about social style, okay? Expressives are going to be tempted to overdo. I'm so upset! Okay? And actually may feel that way, but when you stop and think, how do you really feel about what this is doing? Well, you know, it annoys me. That's probably a more accurate description. Okay. On the other hand, you have your amiables who don't express, and so they may tend, well, I'm bothered. And down deep, they're churning like a volcano, you know, and then they want to...
They will do that.
Yeah. Given enough time, if you don't address this in a healthy manner, absolutely, that volcano is going to come out. So be accurate. And this could be really difficult because we're not always sure what it is we feel. We don't, by and large, a lot of people don't have good practice in communicating what they feel. So do you know the difference between when you're hurt, sad, angry, frustrated, afraid, anxious? Can you separate those out in your mind? Can you separate those out in how you feel? And sometimes you say, you know, a common mistake is to say, oh, I'm hurt, when really what you meant was you're angry. You know, I'm angry, I'm frustrated, I'm afraid. Because they can feel very similar. It can feel like, oh, I'm hurt. And you really think about it and think, no, I'm angry. You know, yeah, I'm hurt. But what I really feel is I'm angry. I'm annoyed. So be accurate. And that's really tough. Second part is to deal with feelings, not thoughts. Again, very hard. I was going... And really trying to think, how would this work? And it's really hard. It's easy to say, I feel, when what we really mean is I think. For instance, we may say, when you contradict me, I feel like I shouldn't say anything. Now, we're saying the word feel, but we're really expressing what we think. We're thinking that, you know, maybe I shouldn't say anything. What's the real feeling there? That's hard. And because it would be better to say, when you contradict me, I feel hurt. I feel disconnected from you. That's what I feel. Okay. Rather than what I'm thinking. You get that? I if you think about things that annoy you, you think about, you know, the toilet lid being up or the toothpaste or somebody that ignores you or contradicts you or shows you a lack of respect or whatever it may be. A lot of times our response is, I feel, and it comes out what you're thinking about them. And when we're making a judgment, and that's the next thing, we have to avoid being judgmental. Avoid being judgmental. Use good judgment, but avoid judgmentalism. And I'm not trying here, and I won't try to define what it means to be judgmental in every situation, in every circumstance, and go into all the things about judge not lest you be judged and all that stuff. I'm talking specifically about this instance of telling what you feel, and in telling what we feel, it's here that we can be judgmental in the sense that we try to assess blame to the other person. And we try to give them guilt, because guilt can be very powerful. We know how guilt can be powerful with us, and when we feel guilty, how it moves us. And so we use that guilt sometimes, and we try to put it on the other person to make them feel guilty so that we can kind of get our way. You follow? For instance, we cast blame, and we use guilt as a weapon to get what we want. You know, whether we speak much or, well, that's okay. You know, the tone of voice can do it for us. Well, that's all right. Don't worry about me. What's that? That's guilt. Right? For instance, when you contradict me, I feel like you don't care about me. That sounds like blame. I mean, it may be true, but we're phrasing it in such a way to put that guilt, and it puts the focus on the other person. And remember, in this part, what we're trying to do is put the focus on what I feel. This is how what you do, how I feel about that. So what do you feel? When you contradict me, I feel unloved. I feel alone. Okay? That's the same thing, but it takes the blame out of it. Takes the judgment. It's not you make me feel, it's I feel. This is about your experience. And when we say you make me feel, what we're doing is saying, well, you have all the power and control in this relationship, and everything you do controls my feelings. No, they're my feelings. But when you do this, this is how I feel. And you may have to add to this, and I didn't put it in your notes, but you may have to add the word because when you do that, I feel this way because, and explanation may help the other person understand that feeling. You follow? A lot to digest, but I got it. All right. Third part of this. I would like. And here's where we're saying what we see as the best solution. When you do this, this is how I feel. So I would like, and here is the specific tangible goal I have in mind. Here is what I would like you to do instead. I'm not going to repeat this as a point, but I'll say it again. Be specific here. Be specific. If you're dealing with an amiably ox, then quadruply so, be specific. Okay, I'll give you an example. Henry Cloud, who we use in this class, he was teaching a seminar, and he was teaching on this very subject of being specific in telling what it is you see as a solution. And so he tells the story. He said, I asked if anyone in the audience was in a relationship where they wanted something they were not getting. Quickly, a woman raised her hand. I called on her and asked what the issue was. It's with my boyfriend, she said. What do you want from him, I asked. I want more connection with him. More connection? Yes, I just want to feel more intimate, closer. Okay, so what do you mean by that? Well, it means that I just want more connection. I just want to be more connected. It sounded like that commercial, doesn't it? I want more. I want more. I want more connection. So what'd you tell him? Well, I tell him that. I tell him I want to be more connected. Wait a minute. That's what you tell him? You tell him you want to feel more connected? Yeah, that's what I tell him. Well, let me get this straight. You say to this guy, I want you to connect more with me. That's what you say. Yeah. Does it work? No, it doesn't. He doesn't get it. Well, duh. For one thing, most guys are not going to get that. More connection. You might think you're perfectly understandable in what you're saying and what you want, but you have to be specific. More connected is not specific. Of course, you know, and you think, well, of course he knows what that means, more intimate, more connected. No, he thinks it means sex. Okay? What do you really mean? You know, he, everything but sex, she said. I don't know.
I said everything means sex.
Oh, everything means sex. Well, there you go. Yeah, you know, when you say something like that to someone and you're not, and you're kind of vague, and you're not speaking their language, especially their different social style, and they hear things differently, and they're hearing you like Charlie Brown hears his teachers. Well, yeah, exactly. You got it. I didn't even have to do it. Okay? He said, asking him to be more connected is too global. He needs something specific he can understand. Okay, so here's some possibles. Honey, I want to go for a walk with you, and I want you to tell me what's going on at work and how you're feeling about it. That's specific. I want you to tell me what it takes. I want you to tell me what it is that makes you feel good about us and what makes you feel not so good. Okay. That's more connection. That's specific. Okay. Now, we'll talk about the response later. Let me give you a few other cases where we tend to be general and we could be more specific. For instance, you're so irresponsible. I need for you to be more responsible around here. Okay. Well, what does that mean? Specific. Here's specific. I want to talk about your paying the Visa bill on time and taking care of the car insurance payment like you promised. Let's talk about how to resolve this. Okay. That's more responsible. That's what they mean by more responsible. Generic. I want to feel more loved. Okay. What does that mean? Specific. I wish you would tell me you love me at times other than when we have sex. That's specific. General. You're so mean to me. I'm tired of your verbal abuse. Okay, well, what does that mean? Okay, well, when you get angry at me and yell at me like you did last night, it hurts. I want you to know that you can see how hurtful that is and handle your anger without yelling like that. That's specific. General. You treat me like an idiot. You act like I'm so stupid. Okay. No. Not her at all, no. Okay. Specific. When you don't talk to me about our finances, like the refinance application the other day, I feel as if you think I'm too dumb to understand. And when I don't understand something and ask you a question, like about the insurance claim, you didn't answer me. You grabbed it out of my hand, said I was dense. I want you to talk to me about specifics. And if I don't understand something, answer my questions without putting me down. Please treat me like a partner, even when I don't know everything you do. Okay, that's specific. It's a lot of words, but it's specific. Okay, and sometimes you're going to have to use more words to be specific. And if you're getting confronted, you're going to have to actually listen. We'll talk about that next week. General, you always do this. You promise me you're going to do something, and then you forget about it and leave me hanging. This happens every time I try to depend on you. Okay, that's general, and it has a lot of time bombs in it. Specific, I need to know that if you tell me you're going to do something, it will get done. Yesterday, you promised me you'll get my prescription filled, and you didn't. Now I'm without my antibiotic, and I fear I'm going to get over the infection. And and it has all the specifics to it. All right, those are very specific goals. And with that, I want to give you one final tip there. Avoid the word need. Now, in all of those examples I read, the only time I used the word need was in that very last example. Because and usually in being specific, you need to stay with the words want and wish and I would like, because this is what I would like. A need is something we have to have for survival. And when we cast our wants and wishes as needs, what we're really trying to do is take freedom away from the other person and say, I need this, so you have to provide this for me. And we try to trap them. And that's not what we're really after. We're after a healthy relationship and a healthy resolution of the conflict. Now, we'll stop there, but just understand, this is just the first part of the confrontation. What about the other person's response? And what happens if you're the person being confronted? We'll talk about that next week. See you later.